Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. It is so good to be with you today. Thank you for being there. This program is brought to you by Heralds of Hope, where our mission is to use media to make disciples of Jesus to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. Radio is just one aspect of media we use. We also use books, another form of media, and the internet. If you want to see Brother J. Mark teaching, go to YouTube and search Guide Through the Bible. And if you want to hear teaching like this from other books of the Bible, the best place for that is our website. Our lesson is from Colossians 1. Our lesson title is Fruitful in Every Good Work. This teaching covers two lessons. Today, we will hear about the first two areas of fruitfulness, and next time, we will cover two more areas. If you can, turn to Colossians 1 and follow along with us as we study verses 9 to 14.
As a young boy, I sensed God's call on my life. When I was about 8 years old, there was a visiting pastor at our church, and he asked some of us children what we wanted to be when we grew up. And I said, I wanted to be a preacher. You know, as I got older, that sense of call stayed with me. And as I reflect on that call, I really wanted my life to count for something. As I grew older, I understood that no matter how I chose to make a living, my life could count for God and for eternity. And that realization led me at the age of 19 to fully surrender my life to God. It was a pivotal moment in my life, and I sometimes wonder how different my life would be today if I had not made that commitment back then. You know, most people, if not all, want their lives to have an impact. They want to make a difference. I believe you're listening to this teaching because you have that desire too. So stay with me to learn how the Scriptures teach that your life can become fruitful in every good work. Last week, we began a study of the New Testament book of Colossians, and I said that the theme of the book of Colossians is Christ's preeminence. That is, He is above all other powers, He is superior to all other powers, and He exercises authority over all other powers. Now, granted, not all powers recognize His authority, but they are still subject to it. As we noted last week, His preeminence is reflected in the truth of the gospel. Today, we're going to explore Paul's teaching in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14, under the heading, Fruitful in Every Good Work. Here is the Word of God. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Paul's teaching here reveals several areas of fruitfulness that will develop as we focus on Christ and His redemptive work. The first area of fruitfulness I see is growth in intelligence. You know, sometimes as followers of Christ, we are accused of being anti-intellectual. Now, it's true, there are occasions when that accusation may be accurate, but usually it is made because we don't embrace things that aren't proven, like the theory of evolution or man-made global warming. Those are the conclusions of men of corrupt minds who resist the truth. That's the way the Apostle Paul refers to them in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. They refuse to acknowledge the existence of God as the creator and sustainer of all things. Our intellect is a gift from God. It's the part of us that enables us to reason instead of being controlled solely by instinct or by feelings or emotions. And so Paul prays for the Colossian believers that they may be filled to the fullest with the knowledge of God's will. He encourages them to fully exercise their mental powers and present Christ to the world in terms that they can understand. You see, Gnosticism was making inroads into the church at Colossae, and so Paul's words here directly attack the conceit of these people who thought that they alone were the reservoir of spiritual knowledge. Paul said, no, that's not right. God is the source of knowledge, and all who know him through Jesus have access to the knowledge of who he is and what his will is. This knowledge that Paul is praying for, this growth in intelligence, is not so that the believers could become proud. You know, that's often what knowledge does to people. And this is why, in some cases, Christ followers are hesitant to pursue it. That's what it did for those who embraced Gnosticism. It made them proud, and it too often works that way today. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Paul prays that these believers will be filled to the fullest with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let's explore this for a moment. Paul prays that they would develop all spiritual wisdom and all spiritual understanding. What does he mean? Understanding is the skill of deciding in particular cases, while wisdom provides general underlying principles. Let me give you an example. Wisdom knows that a tomato is a fruit. Understanding knows better than to put that tomato in the fruit salad. The adjectives all and spiritual define the scope of the wisdom and the understanding that Paul is talking about. He wanted the Colossian believers and us to think deeply and develop a fuller and more precise knowledge of who God is and what his will was for them. The world elevates its knowledge as being superior to God's word. But you know, any knowledge that excludes God is inferior because it excludes spiritual realities. The word that is used for knowledge in this text and most other places in the New Testament describes moral and religious knowledge, not simply information. No one can legitimately accuse Paul of being anti-intellectual. Remember, in Acts chapter 17, he was able to hold his own with the philosophers in Athens on Mars Hill. He was an educated and intelligent person. Here, he clearly stated that he wanted the Colossian believers to exercise all of their intellectual powers in interpreting, understanding, and applying their faith in Christ. And his prayer also includes you and me today. We should learn all we can about God, about his word, and about his world, and then order our lives accordingly. The next area of fruitfulness is growth in obedience. Paul is praying for them to gain a fuller knowledge of Christ's will so that they can live in a way that is appropriate to their calling. Paul echoes this theme in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, where he implores the believers to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. In other words, if you say you're a Christ follower, then live like one. As a metaphor for progress in life, this idea of walking is a Jewish concept rather than a Greek one. Psalm 1 talks about the blessing of one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And then Proverbs 4:18 says, "The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines brighter unto the more perfect day." And then Paul further explains what he means by walking worthy of the Lord. He prays that we will live in a manner that's fully pleasing to God. As we grow in our knowledge of God, we should become more willing to do whatever pleases him. Paul calls us to this worthy walk, described by four characteristics, and each one of them indicates repeated or continuous action. The first characteristic of this worthy walk is being fruitful in every good work. That's the title of our study. Jesus said in John 15:7-8, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Now listen, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Knowing Jesus' words and walking in obedience to them do two things. First of all, they motivate us to ask for the right things, and they produce fruit that brings glory to the Father. The fruit produced from a godly life should draw attention primarily to the Father, but it will also alert others that God is present in your life. They will see things like your kindness, humility, patience, a desire to serve. And then, as Paul mentions in verse 4, they will see your love, especially for all believers, but also for all people. You know, most of these characteristics are lacking in our world, so they are immediately noticeable when you and I practice them, especially when someone provokes us. Another characteristic of this worthy walk is increasing in the knowledge of God. Immediately, I think of Paul's words in Philippians 3:10, where he states that the supreme goal of his life is to know Christ. At the very end of his life, in prison, facing execution, does he ask for a reprieve, for a pardon, for a commutation of sentence? No, he asks for his books and his parchments. To the very end, he wants to know Christ more fully. You know, that doesn't sound anti-intellectual to me. I want you to notice that Paul keeps reminding the Colossian believers that pursuing the knowledge of God is far superior to the false teaching of the Gnostics. And while Gnosticism may no longer be with us, there still is plenty of false teaching in our world. It erroneously bears the label Christian. In Peter's second epistle, following his teaching on the inspiration of Scripture, he warns us about false teachers. He says they will secretly bring in destructive heresies and beguile or entice unstable souls. And I have to tell you, the airwaves and the internet are full of such teachers today. We might ask, is Paul talking about growing in or growing by knowledge? Is there a reason it can't be both? Since we're talking about obedience as part of fruit bearing, perhaps an analogy might be a fruit tree and its fruit. Because when a tree is young and immature, it produces only a small amount of fruit. But as it grows and matures, it produces more fruit. So the growth of the fruit and the growth of the tree are both critical. As you and I grow in knowledge and obedience, that growth expands our understanding of God and leads us to the next area of fruitfulness.
And the next area of fruitfulness, we'll have to wait till next time. Thanks, J. Mark, for sharing these with us. Till next time, see if you can remember knowledge and obedience. And of course, as you're remembering them, grow in them. Then, when we are together again, we will finish the rest of this lesson. If you have any questions, or if you want to contact us for any reason, here are a few ways you can reach us. An easy way is email. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can message us online. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. Once there, click on the Contact Us, which is on the top right. And of course, you can always write to us. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA 15533. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Thank you for joining us. Today, as J. Mark was reading the passage, verse 11 stood out to me, especially the first part. Here it is again. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. Think about that. We can be strengthened by him, by his power. Listen, there is nothing stronger than that. He created our world and every galaxy. He made the smallest bacteria and molecule by this same power. Be encouraged. This Creator can help you right where you are.